You're listening to Screen Heroes.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Screen Heroes podcast. I am Derek, your regular host, and I have with me my two longtime weekly co-hosts, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hey.
Hey, hey. This week, we end our journey through The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. All six episodes have come to this. We're discussing the finale and I'm sure lots of other things that came up during the season. And before we dive into that, I'm just going to plug that next week is our 250th episode. Can you guys believe it? Hold for applause.
So long, guys. So long.
Yeah, this thing should have been taken out to pasture years ago, but, you know, we keep plugging along.
Someone's got to make me stop. That's really what it comes down to, you know, and no one has. They just keep letting us do this week in and week out. So next week, we are starting a new monthly segment called MCU Revisited, where we will be going all the way back, starting with Iron Man and going through the first two phases of the Infinity Saga, because when we started the show, we were already deep into the MCU. The first MCU film that we were able to review as it was released was Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah.
So we're going back. And thank you, Daryl and chat. Thank you for the congratulations. I appreciate that very much. But we're going to be doing that. So we're also thinking about doing some similar things with DC properties, but obviously they're a little more complicated because they've got like three different movie universes. So we have to kind of think about how we're going to do that. But MCU Revisited is starting next week and will be monthly recurring in order of the Infinity Saga. So there you have it. All right. Let's do this. This is your spoiler warning for the finale of The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. Spoiler warning for anything really MCU related that could be somewhat related or tangential to The Falcon and The Winter Soldier, as well as us probably making some guesses, some speculation about what's to come. Alrighty. So, big episode. A lot of stuff in this one. A lot of stuff to cover. Let's just start with like something really big and kind of just get it out of the way. What'd you think of the new Captain America suit?
It was nice. Like, it's almost exactly right out of the comic.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great on screen. I'm a little concerned because he doesn't wear a helmet like the other caps did. So literally the only part of him that's exposed is his brain part. You know, at least Wally West, when he has a similar kind of cowl, he can run faster than a bullet. So that works. But I know that they went that way because it's the way it looks in the comic books. But like the tactical, like more interested in functional suit part of me is like, okay, come on.
That's fair. The only thing he does have the wings. Right, which can protect him, which that bridge scene where he swoops down and like the wings like go around him and the pilot, that was a pretty awesome shot. I just really like that. So I guess he has that. He can always throw the wings over his head to protect himself a bit.
Sure.
One piece of detail that never occurred to me that I thought was super cool. So Straw Hat Goofy, he's on TikTok and he does some good analyses, and he pointed out that Sam's suit has two stripes on the chest, whereas Steve's had three. And this might be a reference to the missing man formation in the military, in that, you know, Steve's gone, and so that he's that third stripe that is missing. And if you're not familiar with that, you can look up what the missing man formation is. But I thought that was a really cool concept. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I really like the idea. So until I'm told otherwise, that's my headcanon for why he has two stripes. So there you cool. go. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was really cool. Very vibrant and bright, which was, you know, a nice contrast, of course, to Walker's cap suit or fake cap, whatever you want to call him. And even more so later in the episode. But yeah, I thought it looked good. I'm glad he has the goggles, you know, since he's flying all the time. I thought that made a lot of sense, but they looked good.
Yeah, yeah, and the fact that they're functional. I was worried that they weren't going to be, and like when they were in the tunnels and they couldn't, they were chasing the Carly and the other people, and I was like, why does it, I mean, just turn on the infrared, and then like 2 seconds later it's like infrared. Oh, thank God he's got, if he's got goggles and they're not functional, you know, even night owls were functional, like mm-hmm. this is Wakandan tech, come on, they can do that. So, and they did.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, remember, like, you know, Peter's glasses that Tony gives him.
And yeah, I can home, do so right? much stuff. So,
yeah, I'm glad that they had that too, and it's a good piece. Like, the whole suit is a massive upgrade to Steve's, right? Like, Steve's obviously looked a little bit more sophisticated than the one he had in World War II, but you know, between the wings and the infrared goggles, like, it's just a very, very cool suit, and you know, the jetpack too, of course. Like, it's pretty awesome.
What'd you think, Rachel?
I said I already liked it. I think it looks really great.
I didn't know if you had any thoughts beyond that.
Nope.
Okay.
So yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way because it's just, I thought it was really cool and I wanted to talk about it. I love the way that they used it. We talked a little bit about this last week, but just the choreography with him having the wings is a unique way of showing fight scenes that they don't really have the opportunity to do with any other characters. And it's good. It looked really good. There was really only one shot where the wings looked kind of funky CGI wise. And that was when he was bringing Kelly back and he was doing like the soft land on the, Carly. Yeah. Her real name's Kelly. When he did the soft land on the road and the wings had the fold back in, it looked a little off, but other than that, I thought it just looked fantastic.
Also the wings looked way bigger than I mean, maybe my proportions in my head were just wrong, but like in that scene, they looked huge compared to a lot of other scenes. They didn't look that big. It could have been angles or something. I don't know. It did kind of give him like an angelic look when he was bringing this terrorist down from the sky. So that was interesting, but yeah, it was cool. That was overall, like the way that scene was framed, I did really like that.
Mm-hmm. I think the wings are larger than his Falcon suit wings.
Probably.
At least they feel larger. Maybe it's just the coloring, but they definitely feel longer.
Yeah.
Chad also pointed out that it fixes the origin of the wings, because in the comic books his wings are from Wakanda from the beginning and the Falcon wings are not from Wakanda, and these are, so it does kind of resolve that too. So definitely it feels like the MCU's kind of shifting certain things to better align with the comics. I don't know if that's intentional or convenient, I don't know which, but there you have it. So all right. So lots to go through in this one. So we learn what the main plot is, that Carly's group, you know, the Flag Smashers, what they're trying to do, right? So it looks like they're trying to gas this whole international politics, the GRC group, and it's a diversion, right? What did you guys think of that plan? Did you think that was good, bad? What'd you think? I don't want to color your opinion. Crickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I mean, I've been talking a lot, so I want to give other people opportunity to talk.
Other people and me. No, I.
Yes, because we always shut you down all the time, constantly. So I wanted to give you time to talk.
Oh, I believe it or not, I just don't have that much to say.
Well, this is going to be a good podcast.
Okay,
then.
All right. Is there a part of the episode you do have something to say about?
I don't know. Like, I. This is really weird.
Okay, it is. We have done this 249 times now, but it's all good. We'll just keep rolling, and you jump in when you're ready. I thought it was interesting. I liked that it was a misdirect, because, you know, it was kind of a very cliched attack, right? You trap everybody in a room, you gas everybody, and it felt very played out, very done before. And the fact that wasn't the plan, that was just the ruse, was nice. I also liked how Carly was distracting Bucky on the phone. Now, I feel like Bucky should not have fallen for such a simple thing, but I did like that she was still this late in the game, still trying to play head games, you know, to keep stretching things out.
The whole thing felt a little too much like the Capitol riot for me. It was a little close to home, and the fact that they were, I don't want to say glamorizing it, but there were some weird things that were like, that didn't sit quite right with me with that whole thing. I'm surprised Disney, I guess that was one thing they just couldn't change up because it was too crucial to the plot of the show. But I'm sure somebody,
I mean,
yeah, that too. I mean, I'm sure somebody was like, this seems a little weird, guys, with what's actually happened in the world in the past few months. But at that point, yeah, what are you going to do about it? So yeah, that was a little weird for me, but, yeah, it was nice that that wasn't the entirety of the plan and it was more just a distraction.
Yeah, the fight scene though. So Sam's got kind of his one-on-one fight scene with the dude from earlier in the Batroc season. Yeah, thank you. I didn't love that fight. That was probably my least favorite part of the episode. I felt like it took Sam way too long and he spent way too much time on this one dude when everything else is like happening around him.
It's kind of understandable though. I mean, when you watch, this is the same guy from Winter Soldier, and even Cap, I mean, had some trouble fighting him, and Cap's a super soldier and had way more combat training than Sam has, in theory. I don't know. I guess we don't have an exact amount for either of them, but Cap has been alive a lot longer, and you assume that a lot of his downtime was combat training once he had the serum. So yeah, it took a long time, but he's also just, you know,
Sam. I didn't mean that Sam should have beaten him faster, because Sam doesn't really beat him. Sam just leaves. And I think that was the right decision. I just think he should have done it a lot earlier. Does that make sense?
Sure. Like, it didn't really bother me that much. Okay. If anything, like just the whole motivations with Batroc and the Power Broker and all that bothered me way more than that fight scene did.
Oh, we'll get to the Power Broker. they get everybody into these trucks. They load everybody in these trucks with these little spider lock things, which, like, I'm a sci-fi techie and I love sci-fi technology, but those little spider things, like when movies use stuff like that, it just makes me kind of roll my eyes a bit. But
kind of gave me some Oscorp vibes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that maybe the Power Broker at the end, the little stinger, might have been speaking to Oscorp or something like that. I don't know. I think that this there could have been some hints there. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but
that's a good point, though. It certainly makes it better.
Also, Sharon's little bomb that she throws looks a lot like the bombs that a certain Spider-Man villain throws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, which one's that?
Green Goblin. Obviously, or Hobgoblin. I guess there were similar bombs as well, but yeah.
Or the new Goblin from Spider-Man 3.
Right. Let's focus on Winter Soldier and Falcon, please. We're not going to Spider-Man 3.
So Sharon Carter is actually the Power Broker, Mephisto, and the Green Goblin.
If she's Mephisto, does that make you feel better about things, Ryan?
No.
I just want to say that I was right, and I can't believe I was right. And
the entire internet was right. They did such a shitty job hiding that, and they made it so obvious that it was her. Anybody who didn't like it was so obvious that I was betting against it, because I was like, why would they do this obvious like thing? Because it was so, they made it so clear that that's what it was. Not to diminish your accomplishment.
No, but it's like, fine. Just rewrite the history of the show. It's fine.
Everybody on the internet pretty much figured that out already. Like after she was first introduced, it's like, oh, she's the Power Broker.
Why does it bother you so much that she's the Power Broker?
Because she's a woman.
No. Okay, here we go. Rachel has three lines the entire podcast, and one of them is to make me sound like a misogynist. No, it bothers me because it's completely out of character for her. She's been gone from the snap for 5 years or whatever, and now she comes back and she's the Power Broker in like 6 months. And, you know, I don't know. It just didn't, everything that she was doing in the show felt really weird and not like, I don't know. It didn't, it felt like several different characters. Like why was she, there was no closure for why she was trying to kill Sam. Right? Like she set up the whole thing at the beginning that Sam's first mission, right? And then she gave Batroc the information or the like guns and equipment to go kill Sam again. and set that whole thing up. Why is she trying to kill Sam? Why did she make her life harder by working with Sam when they were going to go find the guy that makes the super soldier serum? You know, all that did was make her life harder. Like, there's just so many things. They don't make any sense. That's my problem with it. Like, she's a fine actress. The character, I love, everybody knows that the original Agent Carter was one of my favorite characters in the MCU, and I loved her show. And, you know, this, you know, Aunt Peggy would not be happy with what's happening.
There's a lot to unpack there. Chat is saying that Sharon's a Skrull.
She could be. Yeah, I've seen that theory out there, and that would make me feel a little bit better for sure. So, but we'll see. If that pays off in Secret Invasion, then that's fine.
Yeah, it does make it better, right? Because then inconsistency is because they're just trying to screw with stuff.
Sure.
Right.
But then it also is like, does that completely undermine her role in the show? if she was asleep the whole time, you know, like that kind of thing. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, the whole Skrull concept definitely causes issues like that. There's a lot of people that, you know, are saying that Nick Fury's been dead since the Winter Soldier. You know, and that changes.
He was replaced in the underground hospital.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and if anything, that actually almost makes, because that was really my only complaint on the Winter Soldier was the Nick Fury subplot. And that makes that better for me, because then there's at least a reason for all of it, instead of just a sad fake out. But, you know, there you go. That would be my thought.
That's going to be the whole problem with Secret Invasion, because some things that we've thought were true this whole time are going to get turned on its edge. And we can't really focus on that now. Without...
Yeah,
that's
the thing. It's like, exactly. Like, if she's a Skrull, wonderful. But like, we can't just, you know, we have to judge the show on its own merits.
Yeah.
And they take the problems for the show on its own merits and not just be like, well, she's a Skrull, so it's all okay.
And here's the thing. Sharon Carter has no merits and has been one of the worst additions to the Cap storyline since she was introduced. Damn. They have no idea what they're doing with her, and every step seems worse than the last one. So just kill her already. Kill her. Kill her.
She's already slept with her uncle, right? So
that's the only time you're gonna see me react like that to sex with Chris Evans.
So after the Shang-Chi trailer dropped, there was a scene that took place in Madripoor, and there was a theory coming out that maybe the Mandarin was the power broker. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would have liked that a lot more. But to be fair, I would have liked almost anything more than Sharon Carter being the power broker. So I don't know, but I'm a little disappointed with how that played out. And to be fair, she never says she's the power broker. Somebody else calls her the power broker and
she just doesn't respond.
Yeah. So maybe that whole thing was a, I don't know.
It is equally plausible that while she was saying the power broker was a he, that she was lying because it was her. That's just as likely as her lying now when someone says she's the power broker and her just going along with it. Those are equally likely.
Right.
And that's fine. And I did have this complaint. So towards the end of the episode, right, when, you know, Sharon gets shot right in the gut and, you know, they have the whole standoff and everything, and then she kills Carly, and Carly's like the super soldier, and she goes down, and Sharon somehow she's fine. She just walks it off.
Well, why is that a problem? I mean, Sharon was a trained operative by S.H.I.E.L.D., so of course she's going to be able to make a kill shot easier than Carly, who's just this random person with a super soldier serum. And super soldier serum, Cap was not bulletproof. No, super soldier they showed has ever been bulletproof.
Not saying she should have been bulletproof. I'm just saying that she died real quick.
Yeah, she got shot in the heart by someone who was a trained agent with S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, I don't really have any problem with that.
It didn't look like a heart shot for me.
But she got shot someplace. Heart isn't the only place that'll kill you. I mean, I'm just saying.
She was double shot versus, you know, double tapped versus Carter, who was not.
That's true. She just died really fast.
Carter is a much better shot than Carly is.
Yeah, she's had a lot more training.
Yeah, with guns, so like just flat out. Yeah. Also, It is very likely, based on what Carter was doing in the episode where they go and find the scientist, that she has something a little funky in her system now, too.
I'd be disappointed if they made her a super soldier, but whatever. I'd rather her be a Skrull than a super soldier.
At this point, it seems very weird that, like, it seems like everybody's a super soldier.
Yeah, so. Everybody but Sam.
Everybody but Sam.
He doesn't want it, and I think that's, like, just the best.
Yeah, and then the Wakandans designed him a suit to compensate for the fact that he isn't a super soldier. I mean, mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, when he's punching people and he uses the rockets to give him super soldier-like strength behind the punch, that's cool, right? Or, like, when he's able to lift that van or whatever it was because of the rockets, and then using his little Red Wing boosters, that was cool. He was able to do something that Steve Rogers wouldn't have been able to do. I mean, Steve had the strength to do it, but he can't fly, so he wouldn't have been able to get in front of it and push that thing up. So I like that they're making him a different Cap. It's not the same Cap, you know, and they're giving him ways to still be superhuman performance without actually being a superhuman, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are some really good points. So Walker shows back up with his new shield that doesn't last very long.
Yeah, that gets crumpled in like 2 seconds.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that made me feel so good because I was like, where is he going to get some fucking vibranium? And he didn't.
Yeah, is he making this out of like aluminum or like stainless steel? Or like what is this made out of? Doesn't matter. It gets crushed in like 5 seconds.
I assumed it was steel, but yeah. I mean, it got destroyed faster than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, it lasted one throw.
It was really quick. I did like though how like it doesn't bounce off the way the vibranium shield does. I thought that was
sound like the vibranium shield when it hits either.
I thought those were really nice notes because like the shield's been in the MCU a long time now, so like you're used to it acting as and sounding a certain way, and it's just a dud, right? It just felt like a knockoff the whole time. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
What did you think of Walker in this though? Because his story kind of goes a different route than I anticipated.
I mean, we've been saying that he's going to be a part of the Thunderbolts and get a new suit for like the entire show.
Not that part. Him, yeah. But I mean, like what his character does throughout the bulk of the episode and how he wraps things up at the end with Bucky is definitely not how I would have guessed.
Well, I mean, if you've read the comics or have any familiarity with the comics, then you know that he's kind of an anti-hero. You're not supposed to like him, but sometimes he does do the right thing. You know, a lot of anti-heroes are that way. Gray area characters, you know, they're kind of pieces of shit most of the time, but then, you know, they'll help the heroes if it fits their agenda. Mm-hmm. And I think in this case, it fit his agenda and, you know, it worked out. I'm glad that they didn't really redeem him, of course, but I'm glad that they kind of gave him a more positive note to leave on. And so he wasn't just like mustache twirling villain at the end. So, and I like the new black suit. It's pretty cool. It has white on it too, which is interesting because we had commented on the costume design pieces from his other suit. So
the suit also fit him a lot better too. Yeah, which goes back this was to designed conversations. To. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So it just looked better anyway. Ray, what did you think?
Did it have Bucky's suit or Walker's suit?
Of just Walker. Sorry. Walker's character in the episode and the stuff that, like, his arc.
Walker's character on, you know, the other hand of Sharon's gets better every episode, every time I see him. And it's because he is just so complicated and so complex, and they put a lot of layers in this guy. Having the dichotomy of him wanting to kill Carly and then saving the people, saving the senators and fellow politicians on the truck is just it's so incredible. This guy is absolute gray, and he can be pushed and manipulated when he thinks he's doing the correct thing. Like, everything's so revolved around his ego that he doesn't even realize how easy it is to manipulate him. It's
true.
It's pretty incredible because we haven't seen a Marvel villain like this that's developed to this degree. You know, we have seen megalomaniacs before, but unfortunately they're all like Aldrich Killian, who have a freak out and then, you know, die really fast, whereas this guy is pushed to his limits, then brought back down, then pushed again. And it's gonna be really cool watching him in whatever the next project is, whether that is, you know, a Cap 4 or whatever show he appears in next.
Are you guys still on Team Thunderbolts?
Avengers? I don't think that they're going to get their own stuff yet. I think they're going to be introduced, like maybe that's what Cap 4 is about.
Yeah, I'm still on the opinion that I think it's going to be, she's going to be like a Nick Fury type role for like the villains, right? Maybe she'll go get Agatha Harkness, and they already have Zemo and Walker at this point. So yeah, I think she's going to show up in each of these shows. She probably might recruit Loki. You know.
Ghost is a possibility. And I think I bring up Ghost whenever we talk about Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers for a couple different reasons. One, so far she's like the only female up until Agatha Harkness that was still alive. You know, the only other two female villains were Hela and Maya Hansen, and both of those are assumed dead at the end. And
dead as they get in comic books.
Yeah. So there's that. But also, you know, her character had a continuation at the end that they didn't touch on. So I didn't think in Ant-Man and the Wasp she was very interesting herself, because there was so much other stuff going on, but I thought she had the potential to be interesting. So maybe they will continue with her, or maybe they won't.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I definitely don't see them going with Dark Avengers, because Thunderbolts is just a much better marketing term.
Yeah.
For the movies and the shows, you know, Dark Avengers is a little too comic booky, right? Who's going to go around actually calling themselves that? Nobody, right? But Thunderbolts, that's a pretty cool name actually. And, you know, having a series or a movie called, called Thunderbolts is great. And I can already picture what that font might even look like. So if they get a name at all, it won't be Dark Avengers.
Right.
Oh, I completely agree. That's the issue with Young Avengers, New Avengers, Secret Avengers. There's too many different teams. And when you get to trademarking.
Great Lakes Avengers.
And yeah.
Hey, they only West fight Coast up there, Avengers. Though. Okay.
It's true. But when you get to all that, it's difficult to market it. You know, it's difficult for even the most dedicated fans to keep things separated. So I don't think that, I think we're going to get different names for these people. They'll either come up with them on their own or they'll pull from the comics, but Thunderbolts is definitely more marketable. That's for sure.
For sure.
Very, very fair. You know, there were a couple other moments in Walker's kind of big confrontation. You know, Carly points out that like Battlestar didn't matter, you know, to her at all. You know, his death was meaningless and all these other things. And
I audibly like said, oh shit, I think. Like when she said those words, I was like, oh, you're gonna get it, motherfucker. Like,
right? Like there just comes a point where you're just saying the wrong thing on purpose, right? Like she seemed pretty smart throughout the season. Why does she think that's the right thing to say in that moment?
I feel like Carly is the opposite of John Walker, and her character gets just worse every episode because she seems less intelligent than she did the episode beforehand. And maybe that's poor writing for her, or maybe that's just her mentality going nuts, because it really does feel like she is the rat in the maze trying to get the cheese, but keeps getting electrocuted. Like, she keeps getting pushed up against all of these walls, and she has to find her way to push through or dig herself out, and each way is more desperate than the last. So she's making uninformed, rash, violent decisions that go against what she actually stands for. So
some of that could have been the cut stuff that we talked about too, that plot line that was clearly cut out, so they had to like repurpose things to make this one plot line work. So I'm not trying to justify anything, but it, maybe they had to make her look a little weird by, you know, splicing things together. Who knows? I mean, we'll never know the true story.
Overall, you know, COVID didn't do as much damage to the show as I initially thought it was going to. I think, you know, they had to do justice to Falcon and to Winter Soldier, and everybody else kind of takes a back seat. And you know, Carly's story, no matter what, was going to end with her dying. She was never going to stop. So either this show or something else, she was going to die. That was pretty obvious from a storytelling point of view, but it was just a matter of when, and I guess how and who, like who was going to put her down.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It is kind of a shame because it's yet another Marvel villain that they've killed off. You know, they killed off two in this episode. And it's a problem that the MCU has had for a really long time, because you can't bring these people back.
She didn't really get enough development to really make me care that she's dead anyway. I mean,
also fair.
In the comics, Flag Smasher is a singular individual.
Right.
In this, it's a group. So the group could continue on and be something more. Just because she's dead doesn't stop. There could be other super soldiers out there. I mean, I didn't go through and do the math of the, you know, how many were killed versus how many serums were taken. I'm sure there's probably a couple at least that are unaccounted for. But that would be interesting to find out. But I mean, the Flag Smashers can live on without her, and maybe they'll have somebody that they can make a little more sympathetic. She was a little sympathetic in the beginning, but got less and less so throughout the series.
Oh yeah. I mean, for me, it kind of ended when she threatened Sarah and the kids. I was like, all right, well, that's that. Cause like until then I didn't agree with her methods, but I understood, you know, why
she was trying to do.
Yeah. I understood it. And the general message of what happened during the blip is huge. And there's a lot to that. There's a lot to unpack. That in itself could be an entire series, just that concept. And yeah, you know, then she starts threatening civilians and children. And I'm like, all right, well, you lost me at that point, you know? So now chat is talking about Bucky's amends, and I really do want to talk about that as well. So I say we take a short break, and when we come back, we talk a bit about Bucky's story in the finale. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, we're back. Let's talk Bucky. So Bucky is great in this episode. I like this character more like every time I see him on this show. I really do. I was not that into the character prior. It's nothing against Sebastian Stan. I like him a lot as a person, but I feel like this show cemented the character of Bucky for me as a character I can actually like and get into. What'd you guys think of him throughout this episode or the season?
Oh, he was wonderful in this. Like, I am with you 100% on that. I did not understand the Bucky hype before this, and this gives me a reason to get on that train. I think it's absolutely wonderful what they've done and who he is, and the slow progression and characterization they gave for him was great, with one exception, and that is the tough moment they had been building up to this entire series, where he tells the old man that he was the one who murdered his son. And that, I didn't feel like that was given enough weight because of how important it was And I do appreciate the scene right after where he looks at him and like the old man's finally like happy and smiling, and that's nice. But it didn't feel as heavy as it should have been. And I don't know what should have been cut, because honestly, I absolutely adored Captain America's speech at the end. At first I was like, this is a little long, it's a little sanctimonious, and I was like, no, this is what comics are. How many Captain America comics have you read, Ray, that have like two or three pages of a great speech from Cap? Like, this is what the comics are, and you got to remember that too. So I love that, and I loved his closure with Isaiah Bradley at the museum, but I also felt that Bucky needed his closure. So
to that point real quick, mm-hmm. they didn't have to set to a specific time because this wasn't on cable. So you're right, I don't think they should have cut any of the stuff that you just mentioned. That doesn't mean they couldn't have included a longer exchange with Bucky mm-hmm. and the older man.
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Was anybody happy with that, chat?
No.
Okay.
No, I also wasn't happy with Sam's thing, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I figured we'd finish with Sam.
But Bucky was wonderful throughout the series. The series, you know, we talked about him in Wakanda with the like "you're now free" thing was great. You know, seeing him smile and the friendship between him and Sam develop into something, you know, where they were really close. All that was great right up until this episode. That was so disappointing. I mean, they didn't need to add a lot to it. They just needed to let it breathe. Just let it breathe. Like, give it a second for the characters to let it sink in and just give us a little more. Like, it was so fast. It was like one cut and then it like went by some burning incense and that was the end of the scene. And that was the probably the biggest disappointment of the whole season for me. Was
the fact that scene. Didn't get to see the man's immediate reaction, I think, takes all of the heaviness out of it. And maybe it's because something like that was just going to be way too hard. Maybe. I don't know.
But things are hard. Like, that's
things
okay.
Things are hard.
You know, the life is hard, and they haven't strayed away from, you know, racism is hard. You know, dealing with racism and dealing with PTSD and trauma, and they were dealing with that, but this one moment was too hard for them to deal with. I mean,
especially when you have Isaiah scene not in this episode but the previous episode between
him
and
that's
Sam.
Such a, like, that's equally as tough of a scene, you know.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I don't think there's really any excuse for it, especially at this point in the MCU. Like, yeah, in Iron Man, doing something like that was probably something out of their wheelhouse. But come on, at this particular point, you can hire anybody in the world to help you write that scene.
Right.
If that's what the problem is. You know, and I don't believe that the actors couldn't pull it off. I just don't believe that. I've seen difficult scenes in movies with a very wide range of talent, and giving us something would have been good.
Just a few more seconds of just like letting the scene develop a little bit, you know, anything. And just that sudden cut was, I was like, was that it? I was so disappointed.
I kept expecting it to come back, you know, until obviously, you know, at the end. But like, yeah, because they tease this, teases feels inappropriate for the tone, but they've been alluding to this the entire season. Right. Yeah. It's been like literally the thing hanging over Bucky's head. He's had nightmares about it. It's the one name on his list. It's the one thing that isn't, you know, retribution or avenging. It's the one real thing that he needs to do. And it's completely ignored, glossed over 100%. I almost would have rather of them just forgotten about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because the disappointment was worse than just nothing.
Well, because at least if it was nothing, you know, I would have been like, oh man, they must have had to cut it for time, and then I probably would have, you know, explained that away. But having seen that they were intending to do it, mm-hmm. and that's what they gave us,
yeah,
like you couldn't give us 15 more seconds, 30 more seconds, a minute, like you can't squeeze that time out of your 6-hour show. Come on.
Yeah, and this episode was shorter than the previous episode, so it's like, you know, there's no reason for it.
when your show's on cable, I understand that you have a lot of restrictions with time. I totally get that. That's why shows even have multiple lengths of their intros to adjust for that. They don't have that excuse here.
Right.
And they don't have it like a even movies have it, because theaters want you to stay under certain times. They can do anything they want. It's their streaming service, you know? And so I just, it was unfortunate. That was disappointing. All the other stuff with Bucky though was great. Yeah, the cookout at the end and the kids hanging off of his arm, and
I liked the little thing with the cop when he walked by the cop. He's like Sergeant Barnes, and it shows, because that kind of shows that there's more. There's people that actually like, despite the what the image of him is out in the world, he's, you know, still pretty well respected.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, there's some really good moments. And I even liked some of the stuff between with him and Walker, you know, because clearly it was almost, and it seems a little unfair because Walker's obviously not a good guy in this or anything, but the relationship between Bucky and Walker in this episode felt a lot like how Bucky and Sam's relationship was when we first see them at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Or even in Civil War.
Or yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. It kind of shows you what could be. You know, Bucky and Sam became fast friends, and Walker and Bucky could be, but they're not going to be.
Right. Now, Bucky and Sarah, Sam's sister, like there's something there, right?
He's just flirting.
Yeah, he's starting to feel free, because remember that whole thing was just a throwback to the fact that he couldn't flirt in the beginning of the show.
All right.
And he had lost all of his mojo, because you go all the way back to Captain America, he gets both women.
Yeah, he was like, a player.
So everything was trying to show just how much the Winter Soldier like sucked out of him, that he can't even like smile at a woman anymore.
Right. He had to have the old guy do it for him. Uh-huh. You know,
and now like it's all playful, it's all fun. He's doing it with his best friend's sister, and mm-hmm. she's making
just to mess with his friend, basically, you know.
Yeah,
well, because he hated himself, right? And like we talked about this earlier, like, you know, he's sleeping on the couch at Sarah's place, not on the floor anymore, and like we really get to see him grow. And that's what I love about having these things as series, and not being 27 episode seasons either, like just having these nice tight, you know, 6 to 8 hour seasons are just really great mm-hmm. for character development.
Absolutely.
All right. So anything else on Bucky? Anything I'm forgetting on Bucky?
Okay. No, I think you covered it.
All right. So Sam, we talked about the suit a bit. We've talked about him kind of peppered in between. I want to make sure we get some time to focus on him a bit. Going back to the speech, you know, I love the speech. I thought it was great. I wish we talk to politicians like that more often, because there's this sense in this country that we all have to have this fake politeness when talking to anybody who has any sense of authority or anything like that, when in reality they're being assholes, and we should just be able to say that when they are. And the fact that Sam is out there in front of the world speaking to these people like he knows better, because he does. You know, he's seen more, he's experienced more, he gets it, and they just don't want to. And I really liked that.
I'm not looking at chat, so I don't know when like they're talking, but the problem is that today's politicians believe they run the country, and they use their power, they use their money to do that. And in all honesty, they are civil servants. They are supposed to be working for us. We are their bosses, not the other way around. And, you know, this monologue was well delivered, well intentioned, and it kind of puts that mirror back in front of them. Like, you can do all this stuff, and you do all this stuff, but you have no idea who it actually affects, because you get to go home and go to sleep and your civil liberties aren't changed.
Yeah, I think that's good. And chat pointed out that there's kind of a bit of symmetry between this speech of Sam's and Cap's speech in The Winter Soldier. Now, it's been a while since I've seen that, so I'm drawing a bit of a blank. Do either of you recall that speech?
Well, he makes a few speeches but like which which one, like
they didn't specify, so I just wanted to point it out because I'm not recalling that, so no big deal. No big deal. Well,
I'm gonna go on the opposite end of the two of you.
You and don't you can like hate me. You can hate me
for it if you want. No, no, no. Look, I love the what they were trying to do with that speech, right? And I understand the parallels and I understand these things. But like Sam saying this woman's not a terrorist, she literally blew up buildings full of innocent people and killed innocent people. Like she's literally the definition of terrorist. Well, it would apply to everything she did. She is a terrorist. So, Sam, I understand what you're trying to say, but I just don't think it really got there for me because she is a terrorist and her group are terrorists. They've killed a lot of innocent people and inspired terror. Like they were trying to inspire terror into people. So they succeeded and they are terrorists.
So I agree with you. I think the point was that she didn't have to be a terrorist because she was put, the idea is that people like these senators are pushing people into these decisions.
Understand these things, right, that you're okay saying. Okay. I said, I understand where they were trying to go with the speech. I just don't think that it was executed as well as I would have liked it. The other part of it that I didn't love was, he told them they need to do better, right? We all think that politicians need to do better. Everything you guys said about that is true. And I agree. But like, you know, if you're going to tell them to do better and they're going to ask you how to do better and you have nothing to give them, you know, like they're just people too. And granted, maybe in real life, they're just people with more money and they're probably evil and things like that. And even in this universe, they're probably evil, but you need to like have something. Just saying do better and giving them no way to do better is that doesn't really solve anything. You know what I mean?
I mean, obviously having an alternative would be better than not having one. But I also think that, because this happens in the real world, I've actually seen this happen in real life on the news, where it's also kind of unreasonable for a government with essentially unlimited resources to ask an everyday citizen for the ideas that the billions of dollars should have come up with. You know what I mean?
I agree. But so, I mean, in the scene, he's the one there. He
I know.
Forced them. Like he's choosing to make the speech. They're not saying you need to make the speech. You know what I mean? Like all this is choice by him. So if you're going to bring this up, then have something. But I agree, you know, the government and they end up like recalling the vote or not doing the vote. And so his speech made an impact. Right. So maybe they used those billions of dollars and used their resources, you know, to come up with something. So, you know, in the end, it accomplished what he wanted to. I just didn't think the way that the speech was written was, I don't know, it seemed a little weird to me as all.
That's
the
fair.
Way I mean, the way there, it was done.
There have been better speeches, you know, but the MCU's never really tried to do this before. So for a first attempt, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, like I said, I love what they tried to do something there. I just don't necessarily think it was executed the way I, you know, everything in the MCU, well, not everything, a lot of the things in the MCU are done really, really well. And they, you know, even through this series, the way they handled racism and the way they handled PTSD and the way they handled a lot of things, in the end, I'm really happy with how they handled it. And I think they did, especially considering it's Disney, you know, I think they handled it really well. I just didn't think that was quite the bow on top that I wanted it to be. Unfortunately, I kind of felt like that throughout this whole final episode. Unfortunately, nothing really wrapped up the way I wanted it to personally, and that's more a problem with me, I guess, than anything else. But yeah, I felt a little disappointed by the way everything kind of wrapped up on this one, except Cap is Captain America, or Sam is Captain America. I think that's great. I'm glad they finally gave us a good, like, we got Steve Rogers, how he earned the Cap role. And so now we get Sam and how he earned the Cap role. Mm-hmm. And I like that. So I think that that was handled well, but basically everything else for me was a little disappointing.
It is nice that like, it wasn't really handed to either of them. You know, they both had to go through something to get that mantle in the real way, which was nice. I do like that. And the title card at the end, you know, where they change the name and it's Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And I mean, that's nice. Why are they still calling Bucky the Winter Soldier at this point?
I assume it's the same reason that you call an alcoholic still refers to themselves as an alcoholic, even if they're in recovery and sober for 20 years, because if you forget where you came from, at least this is the way I took it, I could be way off base, if you forget, you know, that, then you stand the chance of becoming that again. Does that make sense? Like,
that's a very interesting perspective.
You have to like keep that in the front of your mind. I don't love that. I would have rather it been Captain America and the White Wolf, but I understand. I may, like I said, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that's the way I took it, that he doesn't necessarily want to shed that title because he needs, it's a part of him, and he needs to be aware of that part of him and not just forget about it.
It's interesting. Ray, any thoughts on that?
I don't think White Wolf suits him anymore, especially since
Wakanda hates him.
Told him to stay out of Wakanda for a while. And I don't think the Winter Soldier suits him. I think Bucky deserves a new call sign. I think it should be something that comes from him, because all these other names are things that people have given to him. So I think that at this point, his character's been through so much, he should be like, no, this is who I am. Like, Bucky deserves that moment at this point. So, yeah. You know, if the show gets a season 2, which they've talked about, and of course we know there's a Cap 4, and I assume Bucky's going to be a part of it, then go outside the comics on this one and give him his new identity, something that better suits who he is now.
I'd definitely be okay with that. Yeah, it did feel weird still calling him the Winter Soldier despite all the progression that he's made. And yeah, you're right, White Wolf doesn't really suit him either. It's a tough spot to be in, but it is weird that they ended how are they gonna end it, you know what I mean? They can't just give him a new name, like,
right? Sure.
So yes, I think it makes sense that that's how they ended it, but I think going forward he needs something different,
right?
I mean, one thing they could have done that I personally think gets the same effect of giving Sam the Captain America name is, instead of having a title card, they could have said Captain America and Bucky will return, you know, like we've seen at the end of a lot of movies. I think they could have done that and it had the same effect.
That's likely.
Yeah.
He could go by his true name, which is Mephisto.
How dare you?
All the way back. We should have like a little jingle that plays on the recorded version every time one of us says something. Yeah. Yeah. Something that says like Mephisto.
I'll see what I can do for future episodes.
We'll put tech support on that.
Yeah, but this will give people incentive to join us live for when the queue for Mephisto is, and then listen to it for our Mephisto jingle.
That's right.
Oh man. See, the joke's on us. Mephisto's never going to show up in the MCU.
Ever.
That's gonna be
nope. There was a devil in the stained glass in the Loki trailer, so I'm pretty sure that he's definitely gonna show up.
No, that's Loki. Ralph. That's just Ralph.
Ralph Boner. Yeah. Ralph all that for Boner. A Boner joke.
Oh god, I saw a interview today with Evan Peters. He had no idea that his character's name was Ralph Boner until the season finale's script came out, and he was like, this is amazing.
Oh my god, he wasn't disappointed?
No, he loved it. He knew he wasn't going to be playing like actual Quicksilver or Mephisto or anything like that. He knew his character was like a red herring.
Gotcha. I just don't think I ever would have found that joke funny. So I'm not the right person for that role. I think they picked the right guy. You know, I know I was a close second, but.
Right.
Wait, what do you mean you never thought, you don't think that you would have been the right one to.
I don't think the Ralph Boner joke is funny. I don't think it's.
You don't think just like him turning around and giggling at Boner is just like a silly joke? Like.
Oh, I think it's a silly joke. I don't think it's a funny joke. Those are two different things. It is definitely silly. It's definitely silly.
We're really splitting hairs here.
Fine. All right. So we got, what else we got here? We have the Isaiah scene. So Sam goes to see Isaiah again, right? And brings him to the museum where there's a new exhibit that focuses on Isaiah and his contributions. That was pretty cool.
That was, like the equivalent of what the scene Bucky should have gotten was, right? That was a moving scene that was very important in the context of our real reality and, you know, in MCU, that he's never going to be forgotten now. And his sacrifice is never going to be forgotten. So yeah, I mean, that was a great scene. It just disappoints me more because the equivalent Bucky didn't get the equivalent scene. You know,
it shows me that they could do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because the emotion is really powerful in that scene. And it, you know, Carl Lumbly is awesome. Like, he just really brings a lot of passion to that
through
role.
The whole season. He was great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it just, it was a great end cap to that, to that story. And yeah, I think it just, it shows that they could have handled it with Bucky. You know, the writers could have handled it, the direction could have handled it, right? And but I thought it was good. I was glad to see a resolution to that, because the whole time, you know, Isaiah's talking about how they're not going to let there be a Black Captain America, and, you know, really giving Sam a hard time about his optimism and all these other things, and even still kind of giving him jabs after the speech, you know, when he's legit in the suit and everything. And it just, it ended on a really emotional, nice note.
Agreed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that scene.
What else? Is there anything else from the episode, the season, anything about these characters that you want to make sure we touch on before we wrap up?
No, I want Sharon Carter to be wrapped up like
in a rug.
Yeah, exactly.
Thrown in the Hudson
and be done with that. And then the Mandarin's gonna be like, oh, I see a power broker opening, let me take that,
man. Because, like, you know, they have the post-credit scene and everything where she's pardoned and she, you know, does the phone call that you talked about, and like, I mean, that means they have to have plans for her, right?
Yeah, it's setting up Armor Wars.
Yeah, I guess.
I want to think that she's talking to Oscorp, but I think it's definitely a setup for Armor Wars.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking about that.
Sounds so dumb. Like, I just want anything else to happen.
She's like, I'm going to screw up every single Marvel TV show from now on, and she's just going to show up in all these shows and be consistently the worst part of them.
Maybe she won't be in She-Hulk.
Or maybe she will be. Maybe she'll be She-Hulk. It'll be like a secret...
How dare you?
Evil She-Hulk.
Evil She-Hulk.
Yeah, yep. Evil power broker She-Hulk. And then she's still alive at the end of the season, so she can go ruin some more stuff.
Ugh.
It's disappointing, too, because she could have, like, the actress is great. You know, just, I don't know. She could have been better. And it's disappointing when it's just crap. Crap, crap, crap. Fair.
There was one throwaway line in the episode that I think is at least worth touching on. So Steve Rogers is on the moon. Did you guys catch that line?
Yeah, they said it earlier in the series.
Did they? I must have missed it earlier.
Yeah, the right in the first episode, the guy that was with Sam was like, "Is it true that Steve or that Captain America's on the moon?"
Right, I forgot about that.
It's just a reference to that.
Yeah, okay, I forgot about that. I thought it was funny.
Okay, I thought it was silly.
Yeah, well, then you didn't laugh.
I didn't
sorry.
Care either way. I thought Ralph Boner was better.
You would.
Whoa. What does that mean?
Oh, I think you know. All right. So I think that's it then for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, for Captain America and the Winter Soldier, for Sam and Bucky season one.
Yeah.
All right. So then next week, like I said earlier, it is 250 episodes in the making. We are starting the MCU Revisited segment, a new monthly segment we're doing, kicking things off with Iron Man. So go rewatch Iron Man with us and talk about it next week with us. Thank you to everybody who joined us in chat. We really appreciate it. You can join us every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Screen Heroes Podcast Facebook page and our Screen Heroes Podcast Forum group on Facebook, and chat with us live during the show. We would really appreciate that. When you say stuff that's relevant, it comes up. So we appreciate all of that. You can find us at screen-heroes.com for all of our social media links. The show is available on pretty much every podcast app you can think of. If it's not on yours, let me know. We'll figure something out. Leave us a review. If you leave us a review of our podcast, we will read it on the show. So Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, there's a few other places that allow reviews. So we would appreciate that. It helps people find our show. Ray, if people want to talk to you about Captain America or the Winter Soldier or both, how can they do that?
Yeah, I am at Siren Ray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And Ryan, if people want to talk to you about why Sharon is the best power broker, how can they find you?
Ugh, don't.
Just vomiting.
If that's what you want to talk to me about, yeah, I don't want to talk to you.
What if they want to talk to you about Ghostbusters?
So then there you go. You can find me at Buster Props.
And I'm at the Star Trek Dude. We are the Screen Heroes Podcast. Find us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. Thank you, everybody. We will catch you next week.
Bucky, 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 Bucky.